Sometimes I have theme music, but I often don't. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 633. And I'm going to do what I said I was going to do and have a part three of when the first two parts really didn't have much to do with each other. I'm not sure how much the third part's going to do. But I promised that I would do a recap of Soaring with Your Strengths. And Soaring with Your Strengths starts out by painting a picture for you. I think it was of a rabbit. Maybe this was from the time of Watership Down or something like that. You know, where we got into this wonderful thing about anthropomorphizing. Try to describe people. You know, you could think back to Orwell's Animal Farm or whatever. And so the book begins, and I really apologize. I do have a copy of the book that I bought when I was first intending on doing this. I finally got a copy of it. And I don't have the name of the authors, and I really apologize. The title is Soaring with Your Strengths. I got my copy from Amazon. It cost me one penny plus shipping. Just to tell you that there was a whole lot of these out there, but that they lost their value over time, which is sad. I actually discovered it on the internet from somebody else who had kind of done something of a review of it. I did an abstract of that review, and then several years later I actually read the book. And what I found out from the book was that I think I actually liked the review of it better, sadly enough. I actually liked the build-up that I had made in my own mind about what a wonderful concept this was than what I ultimately read in the book. You know how people say that the book is better than the movie? Well, the dreaming about what the book could possibly be about ended up being better than the book. Which I think is a whole other aspect of this, which I'm not going to get into today, but I do want to talk a little bit about Soaring with Your Strengths. And the whole time, well wait, first let's go back to the rabbit story. Now this story kind of goes through the whole process of some rabbit, I don't know if he was being born, or if he was a little bitty rabbit with his parents, going around having a good time, learning all about how to be a rabbit. And then he got sent to some kind of weird animal school, where they were trying to make a bunny well-rounded. And I don't mean well-rounded as being a well-rounded rabbit. I mean being a well-rounded animal. And of course you would have the birds there, and the tortoises, and the duck-billed platypus. I don't know what things he used. His primary thing was that, I guess, it was kind of a difference between rabbits and ducks. Ducks don't go fast, so they tended not to have a lot of foot races because they thought it was somewhat disrespectful to the poor ducks that just didn't seem to have, you know, they waddle. You can only waddle so fast. I used to have ducks, real ones, in my yard. We used to have the whole Farmer John operation. And we had ducks, and ducks can move pretty good, but they're nothing like something that, and they're certainly nothing close to a rabbit. A rabbit goes a lot faster than a duck can. At least without flapping your wings. They go a little faster when they flap their wings. Usually when they're trying to scare you to death. And they can do that pretty effectively. We had a goose that was especially good at that. But a goose isn't a duck. So you have a duck which, sorry, isn't terribly intimidating, not compared to a goose. And certainly can't run as fast as a rabbit. Well, at this hypothetical animal school, we had a little bit of political correctness. Well, one would probably have to say, given the fact that the rabbit was not being given the ability to shine in his great talent, which was running really, really fast, things tend to be a little slanted on foot races toward ducks, so he was taught to waddle so that things could be a little more fair. Use your hips, Rabbit! You know, and of course, rabbits aren't big hip jumpers. They tend to be just kind of straight out there going for it. They don't tend to sway their hips. It tends to slow you down. Sorry, if you don't like that connotation, that's just tough. Is that why men run faster than women? Because women tend to, you know, women have some hip action. And I'm glad. I like it. Kind of a turn on. Sorry. Anyway. Now I'm going to get it. That was for my wife's benefit. I only watch my wife walk and get any kind of sensation from it. That'll make everybody feel better, right? Including my wife. So he was good at foot races, but they were kind of not very big on foot races because, you know, stuff like that. But that was okay. There seemed to be some mitigating factors at this school. There were some things that the rabbit wasn't really good at. One of them was swimming. He was a very bad swimmer. He was a little bit better than the cat, who didn't even like getting near the water. The rabbit wasn't too big on the water either, but that's okay. He could do it a little bit, although I'm sorry, the ducks were much better. And the ducks would yuck it up and give the rabbit a hard time. Those of you who have had a school experience know that when you shove a whole lot of people together, one will tend to make you feel bad. Well, okay, so the poor rabbit, having all kinds of troubles, feeling bad about himself because he wasn't doing so hot, and people were picking on him. Sorry, ducks were picking on him. I don't know how far we should take this anthropomorphification. Is that a word? It'll work. I don't know how far we should take that. And so he went to the counselor. Of course, they tried to make the counselor a wise old owl, of course, because, you know, how thoughtful and how clear thinking the owl would be. Although most of the owls that I have known would tend to kill rabbits and eat them. Actually, they kind of prefer field mice and smaller stuff. But, you know, if it was a small rabbit, I would imagine the owl would kind of start getting that funny look in his eye that says, you know what, here's my advice to you if you're coming to me for counseling, rabbit. Why don't you just stay really still while I get out the salt, you know. But let's not go there, because we live in a beautiful world where all animals are respectful of each other. Wasn't that kind of what I was talking about before? How respectful everybody needs to be. If all the little animals could just learn how to get together and be happy, what a wonderful world it would be. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm just not that kind of a person. So I tend to celebrate our differences in saying that you can be as different as you want to, and I don't have to sit here and go, yay, oh, she's so wonderful. I can say, you know what, I don't like that. You can do it, but I don't have to sit here and like it. You know, now if you're going to come burn down my house, I'm probably going to shoot you. And if that's not respectful because you really feel like it's your duty and part of your culture to burn down my house, well, I'm going to either retaliate or try to get away from you. Most likely just get away from you. It's my second retaliation. So in this increasingly hypothetical situation where this rabbit foolishly goes and sees the wise old owl, which is probably restraining himself from wanting to just jump the little rabbit and make him lunch. Hypothetically, the owl gives such beautiful advice. He says, "You're so good at running. You don't need to work on running, so I'm going to cut your running class because you need more classes in waddling and swimming because you're not very good at that. So you need to practice more." Well, that gets really depressing because now Rabbit doesn't have any class that he's good at. Every class he takes, he sucks at. Or he's, sorry, is that a bad word? Every class makes him feel inadequate. Ooh, is that PC enough? Is there some way I could make that more politically correct? He's feeling badly about himself. The ducks continue to harass him. Those less than stellar ducks, those ducks that just don't understand the importance of how much a person needs to feel good about themselves, especially when they're doing an activity that they suck at. We're so patronizing. We love to watch people squirm, don't we? Which is what these ducks were watching this poor rabbit do. Self-esteem, which you probably shouldn't look at too heavily, was battered, so they sent him to esteem training along, you know, they probably took away the last class that he was any good at so that he could go to sensitivity training so he could understand why he felt so inadequate along with his class for swimming, where he was just kind of, actually, you could change the class to Drowning 101 and it would probably be more accurate. And so you have this broken, tired rabbit doing his best to wiggle his, to twist his rear end, as he has been taught is the only appropriate way to walk around. It hurts, but, you know, it makes the teachers happy. Ah! Wet behind the ears, which you can't hear out of because he's got water in his ears, and rabbits were never designed to go particularly in the water. But that's okay because at the animal school, we do what every school does, don't we? We focus on what people stink at. And we try to make them at least adequate at what they suck at, to the exclusion of all else. And isn't that how your school was? Isn't that your experience? It's all about what you're bad at. It's all about trying to improve so that you don't look like a complete imbecile. You only must look like a half imbecile. And isn't it so nice? I mean, how many girls have I met? How many girls did I meet when I was young that seemed to be attracted to kind of the downtrodden, to the point to where you would almost make yourself downtrodden so they would say, "Oh, you poor little," you know, because they weren't going to fawn over you because you were the captain of the football team. A big guy with the right pedigree, he was the captain of the football team from the right family. A long family of captains of the football team, or head cheerleader, depending on your gender association. You would get all that. But isn't that the way it is? Aren't we pathetic? Half of us get to be gods just because, and the other half get to lead quiet lives of desperation, heartache, and pain. And the whole point of the book, Soaring with Your Strengths, is that this is stupid. Well, at least that was my take on it. I'm sure they wouldn't say that, because I think they were actually trying to be a little PC. And the whole point was, if you were that rabbit, the whole point was take as many classes as you can in running so you can get really, really good at it. Practice all the time. Learn your limitations and stretch them a little bit so you can go even faster, even stretch your little legs even further so that you can be the best runner in the whole dang world, because isn't that what rabbits are supposed to do, is run real fast? And if you can't swim as a rabbit, perhaps you should find places where there's not a lot of water so that you might run without getting stuck, getting slowed down by water for which your body style is not suited. The point is to find your strengths and work on them. Nobody is going to give you a medal for, well, no, I can't say that. Schools have gotten into, and some industry has followed suit, giving people awards for best improvement, which means you sucked, now you suck less. Here's an award for your suckiness. But most people don't do that. Most sane people don't do that. Most sane people give awards to the best. When you go to the Olympics, they do not give you an award for 8th place. I don't think. Would that one be made out of tin or straw or something, as opposed to gold for the winner, silver for 2nd place, and bronze for 3rd? Those are awards. That's something to say. In a field that includes the entire world, being the 3rd fastest in the world is pretty darn heady. Not quite as good as being the 1st, but you know what? You can keep working on it. Do you think the 3rd place runner in the world decides after they got 3rd place that now they're going to start working on their tiddlywink game? Because they're pretty good at running, but they suck at tiddlywinks. Maybe if I get better at tiddlywinks, I will win the award for being the most well-rounded. Not only can he run pretty good, at least 3rd place run, but he can play tiddlywinks too! Wow! There's a special award just for that! Wrong answer. Maybe he should get even better at running. Maybe he should concentrate even harder on what he's already fantastic at and get even more fantastic and win the gold one day. Doesn't that sound like it makes a whole lot more sense than our whole weird, twisted, strange philosophy? We need to make sure everyone's well-rounded. If you have a problem, we need to focus on that problem, which is what we do. We focus on our problems, which is dumb. Nobody's going to pay you for having gotten from absolutely pathetic to somewhat mediocre in something you're really bad at. Nobody's going to pay you for that. You know, you don't get promotions that way. People who are better at this stuff, and maybe naturally better, they're going to get the promotions. Of course, you're going to be all upset. I worked so hard for that. It just seems like it was so easy for them. And you go, well, yeah. Ooh, I'm coming back to that whole yeah, duh thing. You know, there it is. It's a yeah, duh thing. And the whole point is, you know, somebody needs to come and say, hello. Hello, hi. You seem a nice person. Why are you working so hard on stuff that you're no good at? I don't care if you're improving. Your improvement comes at such a huge cost and has no payoff. There's people that were born yesterday that have more skill in this than you do. Do you know what you're good at? Is there something that you're good at?
I don't know. They never really talked about what I was good at. The only thing they ever worried about was after I took some tests, they got all weird about what I really sucked at and told me to concentrate on that so I could get better at that.
Duh. What kind of an idiot are you? Duh. Hello? But that's okay. That's our culture. And we need to flip that around. We need to try to figure out what people are good at and tell them, hey, you know, whatever you're good at, do it. Do it all the time. Because you know what? It's going to give you lots of fulfillment. It's going to make you feel good. Being better than somebody else at something is heady stuff. I like it. I am currently in a career field where I am incredibly good at what I do. I don't think it's the best thing I can do, but I'm good at it anyway. I guess I'm actually good at two or three things. This one's really good, and to boot, it makes pretty good money. Much better than what I used to do. I was okay at that too. But a lot of people were okay at that. I can't say that I was stellar at being like, say, for instance, a WIC nutritionist. I think I was okay. It wasn't terribly inspiring to me. I didn't wake up every morning going, "Oh boy, I'm going to get to teach people how to get more iron in their diet." Some people love doing that, and it fulfills them, but it didn't fulfill me. So I needed to stop doing that and do something else. And I did some pretty interesting things. I've done a lot of things. Jumped around a whole lot. Kind of like a rabbit. He really hasn't settled down to what he really wants to do. And you know what? One of my skills, I think, is that I don't have to settle down. And do the same thing year after year after year after year after year. That doesn't interest me. After a few years of doing something, by and large, I want to do something else. I'm grateful for the job I have now because it gives me some free time when I'm driving here. I can do something else. You know, at some point I'll probably stop doing this podcast. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'll do something else that interests me more than doing this podcast. I was trying to expand my mind. And that doesn't fit into a 9-to-5. You need, you know, if you push this clock for 20 years, you'll get this many pay raises. You'll, you know, if you have some initiative, maybe you'll become a manager, and you won't be doing this anymore. You'll be pushing papers, or you'll be yelling at people, or you can look at it at the more positive side. You'll be able to inspire people, and you'll have a chance to exercise your leadership capabilities. See, I can flip right between the bad side, a bad view of something, to a good side of something. Not that I know if that's a particularly decent skill. But if you have strengths, use them. They're going to make you feel more fulfilled. They're going to make you feel like you're somebody special. And not like special ed. Not like that. And if you do that, I don't want you to say, "He's not being respectful to me." I don't want to hear that. What are you good at? Not what are your problems, and let's all concentrate on our problems. What are you good at? And work on that. Mitigate your problems. If you are a Zenith-type person, many autistic people are, you're probably not the best housekeeper in the world. You've got all of your stuff. Zenith people, which includes many autistic people, are quite obsessive. And they have their accoutrements around them, the things that they have obsessed over the years. Sometimes the same things for years and years and years. Sometimes the obsessions change. The fact that you are obsessive doesn't change, but what you obsess over may change. I've got enough computers to choke a freaking horse. And I've thrown a lot of them away because my wife told me to. And also because, you know, to a certain point, I look around me and I say, "I don't use these computers very much." You know, honestly. So I can throw away some of the old ones I'm never really going to get around to ever using again. You know, the ones I'm really nostalgic about. This is a replica of the first computer I ever used. I never turned it on, but I've got it here because it's kind of a museum piece. I don't have unlimited room to just keep putting up museum pieces. So I do that. You know, I saw a documentary. It's called the BBS documentary, which is something of a thing that attracted Zenith folk. It became something of an obsession to some people, some more than others. And there was this guy, you could tell that this was like his either a garage or his basement, probably his basement. He had a cage down there with bins and shelves, and it was stacked up. And you could see from floor to ceiling on these nicely built shelves, locked up, because I'm sure he locked it up so that his wife / significant other / whatever, mother probably, I think he might have still lived with his mother, because this is obviously a collection he started when he was a teenager. He locked it up, obviously, to keep them from throwing out the things that he prized. Although he said, okay, here's this box. This is the BBS. He pulled out an Apple IIe computer with the disk drives. And he said, and he opened up all the disk drives. He thought the disk. He said, oh, look, this is the bootloader for the BBS. This computer has not been turned on since I switched off this BBS 20 years ago. Oh! And it was like, now see, this is what I've finally gotten past. I can throw away stuff that I'm never really going to ever use again. And I think about, ooh, I could buy that cool computer. That's a good price for like a TI-99/4A computer. And I'll look at it and I'll say, you know what, if I really want to play this, I said, I could get an emulator for my big, hairy, hand-me-down, but still quite modern Windows box that can run the TI-99/4 software perfectly and has, you know, all the peripherals virtually built in. I could do that, so that's what I do. That's where the obsessions come from. That's one of the traits of Zenith. Am I kind of wandering back to one of my original things? But these were people who could show off their strengths. These guys did amazing things. See, I'm still trying to pull it back to my original premise. And I don't think I'm doing a very good segue at all. You know, because I'm straining. I'm straining here saying, and these guys were showing with their strengths. I don't know if these were their strengths. These were their obsessions. They might end up being Zenith strengths, because if you obsess over something long enough, you're going to get good at it. And you're going to be able to offer help to others, and they'll say, oh, you are so smart and so wonderful, and you're going, I am so weird, and this skill is esoteric. Being the most knowledgeable person about Commodore 64 computers has become something of a useless skill in 2008. So, I'm not saying that one couldn't apply the knowledge from that to something else. One could, but, you know, there's a whole lot of knowledge that was packed up in your brain that is now worthless, you know. Trace points for various things. The rather interesting code that maybe you had to do to do sprite graphics. I seem to recall that was something that was a real trophy on a Commodore 64 programmer's, you know, uniform to say, aren't I better than you are because I can do sprite programming in my brain and it just kind of flows out my fingers. I don't have to sit there and ponder and look up obscure machine code to try to make this happen. But that doesn't transfer over very much. I am behind the slowest person on creation. Oh my gosh. Where is he going? What is he doing? He's stopping in the middle of the freaking road. Thank you. Anyway, I've reached my destination. This is Jay Nemro. You have been listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 633. Yes. And my voice is going hoarse. Soar with your strengths. Mitigate your weaknesses. Maybe I should talk about that next time. You can go back to the old podcast where it was originally talked about, around episode number 55, 38 or 39 or somewhere in there. You can go look back and look at that one about 100 episodes before this one, and you can get this. This is Jay Nemro. God, you want me to come speak to you, don't you? you want this level, because especially if I've just gotten off the plane and I've gotten some food in my belly, oh, I'll get a lot more entertaining. I do, you know. We cut up, we have a great time. And that's what you could have. You can contact me via phone, 1-575-461-2716. Tell me about your meeting and how we can get me there. Maybe even pay me a little bit for my time. I'd love to come speak to you about whatever. If you want to start with your strengths, if you want to talk about Zenith, if you want to talk about how stupid a lot of the fractious discussion about autism is, we can do that too. Whatever you want to do. 1-575-461-2716. If you'd rather email or comment, anything you want to do, the email address is autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. We go either way. It'd be great. It'd be fun. I'd love it. This is Jay Nemro. Have a good day.